ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्म उपनिषदम् ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु
य आत्मनि निरते य उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते
मयि सन्तो ते मयि सन्तो ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः We are in the second chapter of the Kena Upanishad and we are seeing the first verse, still we are at the first verse. And this verse is presented as an examination for the student. Because the teacher wants to make sure that the student has the correct understanding of the teaching. And he starts like this, Yadi manyase suveda iti, if you think you know Brahman, then you know very little, which means you do not know Brahman, that we have seen. And I want to tell you one thing, the Veda, the verb you should take, Vedanam, the Veda, Veda has come from the root vid and the verb is veti. Vedanam means knowing and the prefix when this su comes, su generally means well and good. But in this context, Vedanam is knowing indirectly and suvedanam means knowing directly. So Vedanam here implies indirect knowledge and suvedanam implies here, indicates here, direct knowledge, which means direct experience. Therefore, the teacher wants to make sure if the student say thinks that he has direct knowledge of Brahman, that experience of Brahman, then that is not correct understanding, not proper understanding. So for which he made very clear, this Brahma Jnanam is actually Atma Jnanam. Knowledge of Brahman is actually self-knowledge. And which is, in Sanskritam, said to be Aparoksha Jnanam. And this Aparoksha Jnanam, actually, the direct or indirect experience and knowledge of Brahman is not Aparoksha Jnanam. So what is Aparoksha Jnanam we saw in the last class? And Aparoksha Jnanam, I said, the Vedanta, Shastra study, Shravanam and Mananam of Vedanta serves as an additional pramanam support for our own intellect. Thereby it helps us to process our experiences correctly. And the correct processing of without changing the experiences, but correctly processing our experience, helping us to process our experiences correctly, and it helps us to arrive at the right conclusion. And that right conclusion about the self, which we do not have before the Shravanam and Mananam. Before the Shravanam and Mananam, the conclusion we have about ourselves is a wrong conclusion, wrong notion, which is purely because of, not because of the experiences, but because of the improper processing of our experiences. Therefore, the Shastra Praman and the improper processing of our experiences is due to our due to the inadequacy of our pramanams we operate, the means of knowledge. So that this Vedanta Shastram, when it is used as, made use of as an additional pramanam, it helps us to process our experiences correctly. Thereby we are able to arrive at the right conclusion also. The right conclusion means, in wrong conclusion and right conclusion, what is the difference? In wrong conclusion, the notion is, I am the knower, I am an enjoyer, I am a doer, etc. In that notion, when you say I am a knower, and in that mind is included in the in I. Isn't it? Mind becomes included in the I. Therefore, the mind, which is an object of, mind itself is an object of knowledge, and which mind also is included in, isn't it? Included. See, I am knowledge is, means there is objectivity. But I am, I know, when you say, there is internalization. Which is called aham pramata, means their mind is included. I am anger is, if you say, the anger, you are objected towards the anger, which is not far from you. It is in the same mind. But I am angry when you say this internalization, which is mixing up of mind with the I. So this mixing up of mind and I is what actually is in the wrong conclusion. Therefore, aham pramata means I am pramata, I am the knower, means in which mind is included in you. So the right conclusion, the same experience is there, but because the right processing of the experiences, you just exclude the mind from the I, and that excluding the mind, what remains as I is what now? Is the aparoksha jnana, the right conclusion wherein you remove the I, remove the mind from the I, and that I is not pramata, is sakshi. Sakshi I. So aham sakshi. And then that sakshi chaitanyam, that right conclusion is called aparoksha jnanam. When aham sakshi comes, and naturally this jnanam is what? Aham sakshi means, sakshi is Brahma. You're aham Brahma. But it's right, even though the right conclusion is there, when you arrive at, with the help of the Shravanam and Mananam, still right conclusion, you arrive at, it is not effective, is not useful, because of the mindset you have before that you arrive at the right conclusion. Before you arrive at the right conclusion, which is called aparoksha jnanam, the right conclusion wherein you exclude the mind, thereby you are a sakshi, that conclusion is called aparoksha jnanam. And before that jnanam, there is a mindset wherein you had the mindset in which you were an individual and victimized by the external world, and as an individual you are seeking the support, the help of Ishvara, the Lord, as a savior. And this mindset, unless and until this mindset also changes, this jnanam, this aparoksha jnanam will be of no use. So this aparoksha jnanam, therefore, has to be followed by nididhyasanam, wherein what you have, the right conclusion which you have arrived at, you repeatedly remind yourself of the aparoksha jnanam about yourself, right conclusion, what you are, therefore, repeatedly reminding yourself of what you are helps you to ascertain that what you are, wherein the mindset also changes. The changing of mindset because of nididhyasanam, after aparoksha jnanam, results in what? Results in the aham sakshi, aham brahma asmi. Then, even already there's a jnanam is there, but the changing of the mindset wherein all these differences, I am the individual, victim of the universe, seeking the savior support, the Lord support, that division, differences, that mindset also changes. That changing of mindset is called what? Aparoksha anubhutihi. Aparoksha anubhavaha, wherein you are free. This is what is aparoksha jnanam. Therefore, why? Because It is the, then in that aparoksha jnanam, you only claim you, Brahman as your yourself. You don't say, I know Brahman is not an object of your experience or knowledge. Isn't it? That is why the teacher wants to make sure that the student understands the correct, no, has the correct understanding of the teaching. Okay. So this which we saw in the last, the previous class actually, and afterwards we saw continuously. And so for which the teacher continues with some more examples he gives. He quotes from the mantras from the previous chapter to make sure this is what has been in all other Upanishads, also in these Upanishads, by the teachers who come in the tradition of, who come in the lineage of teaching in Sampradaya, this has been reinforced again and again repeatedly by all the teachers. Now, one thing which has been reinforced is that Atma Aparoksha Jnanam of Brahman is not an experience. And for which he quotes the mantras from the first chapter. And where the famous definition of Brahman, which says Brahman is neither the, not the object, indirect, not the known object, not the unknown object. Brahman is not even an object. Brahman is something which is different from, which is not, doesn't come under the category of object, means Brahman is only ever the subject. That also we saw. And thereafter we said, that's that much we have seen, and Brahman is ever the experiencer, never does Brahman become the object of experience. And Brahman, you cannot say, even just as the fire cannot burn its own swarupam, so also there is no such a thing called Brahman knowing itself also. Understand? Which means if Brahman knowing its own self means what? Brahman becomes subject and object as well. Brahman is never the object of experience. That also has been said clearly before. And where do we stop? Therefore,
this is now starting.
And then one more thing I want to say, tell you. Suppose if you say, can we say Brahman is, this another point I have to say while we stopped. If you say, okay, Brahman is, why can't we say Sakshi and Pramata? Why can't we say there are two knowers? Why can't we say two knowers? Pramata is the knower and the Sakshi is also knower, isn't it? Then can we say there is another knower? So Brahman is always the knower. Okay? Can we say then there is another knower who knows Brahman? He is another knower who knows Brahman. You know, that's also that the Upanishad, he answered, there is no other knower other than Brahman. Brahman is the only absolute knower. That's also answered here. And for which he quoted a mantra from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Na Anyate Ataha Asti Vijnatru. Na cha anyaha vedita brahmanaha asti yasya vedyam anyat syat brahma. There is no other knower for whom Brahman becomes an object of knowledge also. There is no other knower. Therefore, all these things have been stated very clearly. Later on, we have to go to this line. And here the question came, suppose if, why did the teacher begin with the doubt, yadi? The word yadi has been used in the mantra. Yadi, if you think you know Brahman directly, you have that experience of Brahman. I mean the word yadi, it begins with the word yadi, which means if, and which itself, why should the teacher have any doubt at all? That question might come. So, for which Shankara gave an answer in his commentary, sometimes, you know, the students are all the students in the class are not of the same level. They're of different levels. There may be Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari and Mandadhikari. Now people are of different levels. So all of them should be understanding correctly. And some people who are endowed with these fourfold qualifications, sadhana, chatushtaya, sampatihi, etc., they may understand very quickly. Now people who are not yet ready for this knowledge also may be interested in the class, and it may take some time for them to understand. There are people who will not understand also. It may be them. Anyway, he wanted to make sure that everybody understands, so that's why he asked this. So it is not improper on the part of the teacher to have any doubt about the student's understanding. It is okay. So we'll see with it now. Yadi kadachit manyase suveda iti sushtu veda aham brahma iti. Why he asked that? He says, if you think you have the direct experience of Brahman, then now that mantra he begins. Why? Because the students are of different levels. That is said in the following sentence. Kadachit yathashrutam. Yathashrutam means as it has heard, as the teaching is happening. As the teaching is happening, immediately, durvigneyam api, even though it is very difficult to understand, kshina doshaha, the student who has adequate vairagyam and viveka, therefore who has shama shatka sampattihi, who has samadhanam, now who is tranquil and pure mentally, who is very focused, and acha person, kshina doshaha, sumedhaha, also intellectually very, very sharp, such a person, kaschit pratipadyate. Such student, kaschit, some student, pratipadyate understands correctly. Kaschit na. Some other student does not understand. Iti sa ashankam aha. Sa ashankam aha. With this doubt, this teacher also expressed his, began this. The teacher of this Upanishad began this mantra with the if. I think the new class is going to come now, I think. New lesson begins from here. Mm-hmm. Drishtam cha. Even this is also not new actually. Ya eshaha.
Ya eshaha.
Akshini purusho,
akshini purusho,
drishyata,
drishyata, esha atma,
iti,
iti,
ha, uvacha,
uvacha,
yetade,
yetade,
amritam,
amritam,
abhayam,
abhayam,
yetad brahma,
yetad brahma,
ityukte,
ityukte,
prajapatyaha,
prajapatyaha,
panditaha api,
panditaha api,
asurarat, virochanaha,
virochanaha,
swabhava dosha vashat,
swabhava dosha
vashat, anupapadyamanamapi, viparitamartham, viparitam artham,
viparitam artham,
shariram atma iti,
shariram atma iti,
pratipannaha,
pratipannaha.
The whole situation, the whole thing, will be, let me read it once quickly and then you can tell you everything. Tathendro,
Tathendro,
Tatha Indraha,
Tatha Indraha,
Devarat,
Devarat,
Sakrute,
Sakrute,
Dvihi,
Dvihi,
Trihi,
Trihi,
Uktamcha,
Uktamcha,
Apratipadyamanaha,
Apratipadyamanaha,
Swabhava Doshakshayam Apeksha,
स्वभावदोषक्षयम् अपेक्षया
चतुर्थे पर्याये
प्रथमोक्तमेव
ब्रह्म प्रतिपन्नवान्. सो इन् दिस् काण्टेक्स्ट् शङ्कराचार्य कोट्स् दिस् मन्त्र and where the situation wherein Brahma Prajapati himself was the teacher, and he was teaching the lord of devas and lord of asuras, two kings. Brahma himself taught two kings. Okay, so just presented for our understanding. Even Lord Brahma himself was the teacher, and the students who were taught were the king of the devas and king of asuras. And in spite of being taught by Brahma also, this asura rat, the king of asuras, Virochana, had wrong understanding, and half he understood, half wrong understanding, immediately he left, and he also taught his people. But what happened to Indra? Indra also could not understand correctly, but Ekano, once, twice and three times, and fourth time, repeatedly he went, and repeatedly, at last fourth time, somehow he understood. Even for Brahma as a great teacher, it happened with the students, it took so long. Why? Because the reason is swabhava dosha means the mind being, the desire for knowledge may be there. Once you have purushartha nischaya, once your commitment to the knowledge, perceptual knowledge is there, the desire for knowledge is so much, isn't it? The desire may be there, for knowledge may be there. So if even with the desire to know, even if you come to the class with all commitment, so the qualification also has to be taken care of, isn't it? So this is the one shastram wherein you are not sent back without being taught. Like, you can't go to universities without the prerequisite qualification. But here you are not sent back. But you are given an opportunity to improve yourself too. That is how, somehow you see that you are grown also. You grow and you also become qualified for this knowledge. The Shastra study itself simultaneously will help you to improve your equipment, mind also. And which is the condition of the mind required for this jnanam. Therefore, that is why the Indra, what happened, he, first time, second time, third time means what now? That, during that, all three times, he was taking care of his swabhava dosha. What swabhava dosha? No one's antakarna shuddhi, naischalyam, the mental disturbances, all which are there. It's natural for any human being to have that. Even Indra had it, isn't it? That means he took care of it. So there's a time he became qualified for this jnanam. And the fourth time he got it also. Isn't it? So without qualification, knowledge is not possible. But with the qualification also, isn't it? Without shastra study, with the help of the teacher, knowledge is not possible. That's what is said here in this. Now he is talking about, Shankara is going ahead, but I think I am starting here. Loke api.
Ekasmat guroho.
Shunvatam.
Kaschit.
Yathavat.
Pratipadyate.
Kaschit.
Ayathavat.
Kaschit.
Viparitam.
Kaschit.
Na.
Pratipadyate. See, in this line, the word loke api. Loke api. That loke api means, even in this, the generally, in the world means what now? Not only Vedanta study, Shastra study, even other sciences, study of other sciences. The word loka implies the study of other sciences in the world. And even loke api, ekasmat guroho shunvatam. there are students who listen to, many students listen to one teacher of different, of different subject matters, isn't it? People of different disciplines, maybe physics or chemistry or biology or whatever it is, different sciences are there, and that the one professor teaches many students together. But in even of all the students, even ordinary other sciences which are taught, even then, Shrinivatam, even of those students who listen to the same teacher, many students listen to the same teacher, but kaschit yathavat pratipadyate, one student, some, kaschit means one, or some people, or some students, one student, yathavat pratipadyate means understands correctly. Yathavat means what? As it is given, understood. As it has to be received. Yathavat means correctly understands. Kaschit ayathavat. Yathavat also means what? Now one understands completely. Other students have some understanding, but ayathavat. Ayathavat means what? Now not completely. One has some understanding, but not total understanding, or complete understanding. At least incomplete understanding, by repeating the study, can make it complete understanding. Isn't it? So, ayathavat, kaschit viparitam. One student understands wrongly. One understands fully, one understands half, not completely, but one understands what? Completely wrongly, viparitam, and kaschit na pratipadyate, one doesn't understand at all anything. Like this, even with reference to the study of other sciences in the world, it happens for students of learning with one teacher. Now, he says, they're all, what now? All other sciences are aparavidya. Aparavidya means what? All are within the realm of matter only. The study of any other science is within the realm of material world only. Isn't it? Even those studies of those subject matters, and we have students who are of different levels, and all of them do not have the same correct understanding. So Shankara says, Kimu Vaktavyam, and what to talk of, is it? Ati Indriyam Atmatattvam. And what to talk of, the study of the nature of the reality, the nature of one's own self, the knowledge of the truth, itself, which is on Ati Indriyam, which is beyond our sense perception. Atma Tattvam, which is beyond our senses and mind. Isn't it? So, Atma Tattvam, the knowledge of the Atma, happens to be the subtlest reality, subtlest fact, and to understand which is the truth of this, the knowledge of the Atma, or the truth of the self, happens to be beyond the sense organs. And what to talk about the understanding of the truth? Why? Because naturally there will be students of different levels and who have really different understandings also. Atrahi vipratipannaha sadasadvadinaha tarkikaha sarve. All these tarkikaha, the logicians, people of the different school of thought, they are sad asadvadinaha. They all what? Vipratipannaha. They all really, because for them, the sadasadvadinaha, there are some people who say, the Brahman is, some people who say Brahman is not, such people, they all really misunderstand. தஸ்மாத்
விதித்தம்
பிரம்ம இதி சுநிச்சித உக்தமபி சுநிச்சிதோக்தமபி விஷம பிரதிபத்தித்வாத் மன்யசே இதி இத்யாதி சாசங்கம் வசனம் யுக்தமேவ ஆச்சாரியஸ்ய. Therefore, there are people of different schools of thought also who do not understand correctly. Therefore, it is appropriate on the part of the teacher to ask this, to state this. If you say you have understood directly, then you have not understood. It is right on the part of the teacher to say this. Shankara really defends the teacher. Why did the teacher have any doubt at all about the student's understanding? But all you have, see, all these are all for what now? To make sure, to say that Shankara, the teacher's intention is correct. The what the teacher has done is correct. Isn't it? That's what he says. அல்பமேவாபி நூனம் த்வம் வேத்த. சங்கரா கிவ்ஸ் த மீனிங் ஃபார் வேத்த ஜானீஷே பிரம்மணஹ ரூபம். சோ இஃப் யூ சே யூ ஹவ் அண்டர்ஸ்டுட் பிரம்மன் டைரக்ட்லி, யூ ஹாவ் டைரக்ட் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் ஆஃப் பிரம்மன், யூ நோ பிரம்மன் வெரி வெல், இஃப் யூ சே டெஃபினெட்லி யூர் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் இஸ் வாட் த்வம் நூனம் வேத்த. You know very little of Brahman's swarupam. Really speaking, you do not know Brahman.
Kim.
In between, I also said, in this context, I told you, when you last class we saw this also. When you read the whole verse, full verse, the second line, he said, the student has a doubt. When you say, Brahman is not an object of experience. Brahman cannot be experienced. Because Brahman is ever the subject. And what about our experiences we have? This point I made last class. Remember? Because we do practice meditation. Suppose in such practice of meditations, we may have some special experiences. So, whether it's ordinary experience, Brahman is not available for, not only for ordinary experience, even by special efforts, by doing something specially, like some special meditation practices, etc. also, even if you happen to have some experience, any experience, including samadhi experience, or mystic experience, okay, and mystic experience also is of a mystic object only. It is not Brahman. Okay. And then, it's like any, in fact, is Brahman experienced or not? If you say, of course, Brahman is always experienced. Atma is always experienced. Brahman is always experienced. What is Brahman? Brahman is ever experienced. There's no time Brahman is not experienced. And Brahman is, how is it Brahman, when Brahman is experienced, the experienced Brahman is what? Sagunam Brahma. And so we are not interested in now Sagunam Brahma. Remember, suppose if by practicing meditation, in my meditation, suppose I have some experience. I have my personal experience. It is purely subjective experience. My experience is objectively real. How your dream is objectively real for you. That some experience what you have in your mind, because some practice also is what? Subjectively real experience. And that object of your experience is what? Also Sagunam Brahma only. That we can say Adhyatma Avachinna Chaitanyam Brahma Sagunam Brahma. Then the same way, if you visualize some devata or some form or something, then you meditate upon that and you have the darshan of such forms also. Like people talk about, you know, I saw Krishna in my dream, you know, I saw Krishna's wish, I saw Krishna, I saw that, I saw this. People say all those things. Even if you have such experience of any particular devata, and I really saw Krishna coming and sitting and playing here. Even if you say also, such experiences also of given devata also is what? Adhidaiva upadi avachinna chaitanyam brahma. Adhidaiva upadi avachinna chaitanyam brahma. That's also what now? In experience of something, Brahman conditioned by a given upadi. It's called sagunam brahma. Really speaking, we don't need to really press it and practice something and do some special experience. In the whole every day, once you wake up from sleep, and there is in waking state, there is Saguna Brahma experience. What is Saguna Brahma experience? I tell you, listen to me carefully. If I say, see, when the light is always here. Light is always here. Light is neither the pure light nor is it a reflected light. But from the standpoint of the opaque object which shines in the presence of the light, we talk about what? In the presence of the light gets the name reflected light. In the absence of the opaque object, light is pure light. Is there real reflected light? Either a pure light, just the light is. Isn't it? Suppose when you experience the light in the presence of the opaque object, isn't it? Saguna, we can say light conditioned by a given reflecting medium. When you experience the mic, you have an experience of the mic. When you are experiencing the mic, you are experiencing also what?
Light.
Because without the experience of the light, it is impossible for you to experience the mic, on any opaque object. So the light in the presence of the opaque object is said to be what? Light conditioned by this given reflecting medium. Then when the light experienced is something which is conditioned by a given reflecting medium, is called what now? Saguna Prakashaha. Saguna Prakashaha. And in the absence, understand now? In the absence of the opaque object, what is light? It's not conditioned by any given reflecting medium. It is nirguna prakashaha. If you understand what is sagunam and nirgunam, then you can understand that's why Ishvara. Okay, when you're experiencing the whole prapancha, all the time, what are you experiencing? In every experience, what is invariably present is the experiencer. The experiencer is what now? Sakshi. The Sakshi is Atma Brahman, the Chaitanyam. Isn't it? Therefore, in waking state, what now? There is a Saguna Brahma. Isn't it? Saguna Brahma. All the time, the Brahman which is experienced, like how light experienced along with the opaque object, it is reflecting medium, can be said to be Saguna Prakashaha, Savisesha Prakashaha. Savisesha, but now becomes what? A reflected light. Reflected by what? Mike. Similarly, Savisesha Prakashaha, Saguna Prakashaha. Got it? The same way here, in the absence of this opaque object, what is light? it has no, it is, it can't be known as saguna. Why it is not qualified? Why it's not qualified? Because it's not reflected, isn't it? Why there's no reflecting medium? It is nirguna prakashaha. In the same way, from this time, experience when you talk about, it's already what now? It's available for transaction, isn't it? Already. Transactable light, non-transactable light. In the presence of the upadhi, atma, the chaitanyam is what? Transactable. In the absence of the upadhi, atma, the chaitanyam is non-transactable. When it is transactable means what now? Then it is conditioned by a given upadhi. Conditioned upadhi is what? Experienced, Brahman experienced. Available, experienced is always agunam Brahma. But nirgunam Brahma is never experienceable, non-experienceable self, sakshi, chaitanyam, non-experienceable experiencer, witness consciousness is what? Nirgunam Brahma. Talk about the nirgunam also, the sakshi also. Non-experienceable experiencer, absolute experiencer is Brahman. Nirgunam. So the Upanishad is talking about the nirgunam Brahma or sagunam Brahma. Understand? There is no time. Brahman being eternal, Brahman being always there. When the experiences are there, Brahman is. When the experience is not there also, Brahman is. Brahman is, Atma is always there. If it is always there, in the presence of the experience also, Atma is. In the absence of the objects also, experience also, Atma is. Means objects of experience are there. Or the instrument of experience is there, and manifesting medium is there. Whenever any object is there, manifesting medium is there, that is conditioned, is an Atma conditioned by given upadhi. Like mind is conditioned by given upadhi. Any devata, any experience is there, that Atma is conditioned by the given experience. Even a sagunam Brahma. Therefore, in the whole day, from until you fall asleep, what to have is what? Saguna Brahma? Experience only. We do have to sit and practice meditation, get it? Maybe you can get some mystic experience. What you don't get, what you don't experience with your simple senses, sense organs, you can have some mystic experiences, and those experiences also are of what? Not Brahma, Saguna Brahma only. Therefore, sagunam Brahma, see, any experience is possible, but don't get carried away by those experiences. People, we have some spiritual experience, they call it. People come and tell us, no, we have some spiritual experiences. What is spiritual experiences? You have some experience, okay? If you understand the Shastra teaching correctly, then you can understand the whole day what you have is spiritual experience only. Isn't it? There's not a special something. Something, whatever it is all your own mind's projections. Your own mind's projections. And it is, because it is not there for others, only you have it. So you think you have special experience. You have worked for it, you earned it, if you liked it, you had joy, but it doesn't stay for long, it goes. The experience should stay for continuously, it should be there, it should not go. But no mystic experience, no samadhi experience stays for long. It is time bound. Because any experience is of the nature of coming and going. Isn't it? Because the condition of the instrument of experience changes. Isn't it? Therefore, what he says is, the saguna, always we have, Brahman is ever experienced Atma. Brahman is ever experienced. There is no time Atma is not experienced. Isn't it? But if at all you say any Brahman is experienced, that experienced Brahman is what? Saguna Brahma. That experience is nothing but Saguna Brahma experience, and which is actually the, which means Brahman conditioned by a given upadhi. Adhyatma upadhyavachinna chaitanyam Brahma, sagunam Brahma, or adhidaiva upadhi avachinna chaitanyam Brahma. Avachinna means conditioned. Like how light conditioned by this given object called mic is what? Saguna prakashaha. Now the light conditioned by, reflected by this table is also what now? Different upadhi. Table upadhi. Table avachinna. Avachinna. Table upadhi avachinna prakashaha. Saguna prakashaha. Now mic upadhi avachinna prakashaha. Like conditioned by a given object. Similarly, pot, you can take the pot also, a pot, tumbler. No, no, akashaka, space is there. Space. There is no such thing called cup space and this space and tumbler space and room space. We don't have many spaces. But still, the only what is, there is only one space. But still we use this. When you say tumbler space, what is it now? When you're experiencing tumbler, you're experiencing the space. What is that space? Space conditioned by a given upadhi. Is it clear? No, sir. Similarly, so what he says is this: that is sagunam Brahma, Brahma Chaitanyam, conditioned by a given upadhi is called what? Sagunam Brahma. And even if you have some experience, there's only Saguna Brahma experience. But Saguna Brahma experience is not discussed here by the Upanishad. Why? Because Saguna Brahma experience is of no use. Why is of no use? It will not change, it will not contribute for your moksha. You will continue to be unhappy and uncomplaining person. Therefore, it is of no use. And Upanishad is interested in Nirgunam Brahma, Nirvisesham Brahma, and which is not something not to be experienced, something to be claimed. And the claiming of Nirvisesham Nirgunam Brahma by excluding the mind, isn't it? By having the right conclusion, by processing our experiences, is called what now? Aparoksha Jnanam, and which by followed by Nididhyasam should become Aparoksha Anubhutihi. Okay? We saw last class also. Kim Anekani Brahmanaha Rupani Mahanti Arbhakani cha Yena Aha Dabhrameva Ityadi. It says Kim Anekani Brahmanaha Rupani Mahanti Arbhakani cha. There are many forms of Brahman which are big and small. Okay, Arbhakani, big and small. Then, Yena Aha Dabhrameva Ityadi. Brahmanaha forms means what are there? So many, in so many forms you are experiencing Brahman. There is no doubt. How I experience light in the form of mic, I experience light in the form of computer, I experience light in the form of every one of the forms here. Like that, we experience Brahman in the form of so many things here, big and small things here. And the experience of any thing, small or big, all of them are experience of Brahman only. But that Brahman experience in the form of all the objects, small and big, around what now? Sagunam Brahma. Is it clear now? That is what Sagunam Brahma is said to be, Ishvara. The manifest knowledge. That's why, which time are you missing Ishvara now? Which time are you? All the time you are is Ishwara Darshanam. This is the first step, isn't it? You shift your Ishwara Darshanam from a small form or mantra to this. And from here, what now? You had to shift it from Saguna to Nirguna. In Nirguna, you don't see that as an object of experience. You see that as you, the Sakshi, the experiencer. Wherein mind is excluded. See, mind included, you are Pramata. Excluded, mind excluded, you are Sakshi. Mind included, you are Pramata. Mind excluded, you are Sakshi. Therefore, bottom, Anekanihi, the teacher was asking, what about different forms of Brahman? We see here, small and big. He says, yes, bottom, of course, you are experiencing Brahman. Brahman is ever experienced, isn't it? But all those, the Brahman which is experienced of so many forms, Sagunam Brahma, there is also Nirgunam Brahma. That Sagunam Brahma, we are not interested now. Because it will not liberate you from bondage. Therefore, he says, Anekanihi Namarupa Upadhi Kritani Brahmanaha Rupani Naswataha. So, Brahman by itself doesn't have any form. Like light by itself doesn't have any form. Isn't it? Now, when the light is reflected by a given opaque object, it assumes the form of what now? A given opaque. The space by itself doesn't have form of its own, but it assumes the form of the upadhi, tumbler, or pot, or room. So he says, Brahmanaha nama rupa upadhi kritani brahmanaha rupani. Whatever form you see, all the forms you say, I see Brahman in this form, that form you say, all those forms are actually belong to the upadhis only. Upadhi kritani rupani. You say, I see Paramatma in the form of the universe. Means what? Correct. The whole universe is Paramatma's form only. But does Paramatma have the form? No. Isn't it? The form and form, the form you see as ocean is what? The form is nothing but water. But does the water have form? Ocean form. The form called ocean belong to the water, the H2O. Does the form called river belong to the water? Does the form called drop or ripple belong to the water? No. But water alone appears in all the forms, isn't it? Different forms. The forms are what we say, the same way here. Like just the space has no form, but still we say part form. The space takes for part form, room form, etc. Similarly here also, Atma the Brahman is of the nature of formlessness. There is no form. But still, that Brahman alone, all the forms which are attributed to Brahman, what now? Belong to the Upadhis only. Upadhis form alone is attributed to Brahman. This is a Brahman, now human form, animal form, tree form, plant form, you know, inert form, and life, form with the life and form without life. All these different forms are what? All these different forms, the one substratum behind all the forms are Brahman only. But Brahman by itself doesn't have any form. therefore, he says here, Nama Rupa Upadhikritani, Nama Rupa Upadhikritani, Brahmanaha Rupani, the simple, Natna Swataha, by itself, Brahman by itself, Swataha means by itself, Na, doesn't have any form. It is the nature of formlessness. But what about the forms? All the forms are, all the name forms and names, what are Upadhi Kritani, belong to the Upadhis only. Upadhis only. What is an Upadhi? Is it wherever it obtains, that in which form it obtains is the Upadhi. Okay, become very clear later on. It's going to say something very, very interesting. Swatahatu.
Swatahatu.
Oh, if Brahman is of the nature of formlessness, then how? See, the teacher continues, Ashankara continues here. Swatahatu.
Swatahatu.
What is Brahman by itself? Brahman by itself, what is it? Ashabdam.
Ashabdam.
Asparsham.
Asparsham.
Arupam,
arupam,
avyayam,
avyayam,
tatha,
tatha,
arasam,
arasam,
nityam,
nityam,
agandhavate,
agandhavate,
cha,
cha,
yate,
yate,
iti, shabdadibhi,
shabdadibhi,
saha,
saha,
rupani,
rupani,
pratishidhyante,
pratishidhyante.
So here, the student, because the student asked this question, what about all the forms, you know, which I experience? You know, what about the forms? He says, we say Brahman has all the, is in the form of all the forms. Of course, Brahman is in the, alone is in all the forms, but Brahman by itself doesn't have any form of its own. And he says, it is the Upadhi, now this name and the form. The form belongs to the Upadhi, not to Brahman by itself. Isn't it? So he says, and what is Brahman by itself? Ashabdam. Ashabd, this is mantra quoted from Kathopanishad. Ashabdam. Ashabdam means Brahman is something which is of the nature of attributelessness. That is, it has no sound. Brahman doesn't have sound of its own. Then asparsham, it is not something which is not an object of touch also. Asparsham, you cannot touch Brahman, doesn't have touch. Then arupam, doesn't have form of its own. Then avyayam, and doesn't become big, or doesn't become small, it ever remains the same. There's no increase or decrease, that means it's of the nature of changelessness. Therefore, it is of the nature of attributelessness. Therefore, it is of the nature of formlessness. He says, tatha arasam. It is, Brahman has no taste. Is it? Brahman has no taste, no sound, no touch, no form, and nityam. Because all these objects, the object of touch, object of sight, object of the object to be heard, of hearing, etc., all these objects have what now? There's a time when they are not there. Anityam. When the sense organs are functional, they are there. Sense organs are non-functional, they are not there. We close our eyes and if we fall asleep, where is the world? Where is the sound? Is there sound? Is there form? Is there color? Is there touch, taste? Nothing. They are all there only when the senses are there. And the sense organs are there only when the mind is there. The mind is turned off, switched off, sense powers become switched off, all the objects are not there. But Brahman is, isn't it? The Brahman is not any of this. Brahman doesn't have any of the attributes. Doesn't have sound, doesn't have all these things. So Brahman is free from attributes, and Brahman is free from form, etc. Therefore, he says what now? Therefore, nityam. Nitya means it's always there, agandhavati. It doesn't have smell. If you go and smell Brahman and come back. People talk about it. When I was in meditation, I had some fragrance, I experienced some fragrance. Because I know people who told me that like that. It's a big quarrel. They quarrel with me when I refused. I said, I don't accept it. I didn't deny that person's experience. I said that experience you might have had, but that has nothing to do with your freedom. Still you are, isn't it? But they didn't accept, there is something spiritual, something special about the persons, because I had some special experience. It's because if I deny the other person's experience, it's making it a pain for the person, because I can't say you didn't have the experience. Because I can't say you didn't dream that, isn't it? And if we fight with you, if you didn't have that experience, I can't deny your experience. But I can only very boldly say, whatever experience you had, that experience is not Brahman, nothing to do with Brahman, nothing to do with the moksha or jnanam. Isn't it? So he says here, ashabdam, asparsham, arupam, avyam, tatha, arasam, nityam, agandhavat. It has no smell of its own, cha, yate, that which is of this nature. Iti shabdadibhihi saha, rupani pratishidhyante. Any form, okay? All sorts of forms are negated on the part of Brahman. Pratishidhyam and negation. All sorts of forms. See, in which form can an object be? An object must be, a thing must be, either in the form of a sound, or in the form of a form, or in the form of a color, or in the form of a taste, or in the form of a touch, or a smell. Each object has its own form. Smell is a given form of an object. A given form of a given object is what? Smell. Isn't it? Each smell is a given form. And form is a given form. Sound is a given form. Isn't it? Some form must be there for Brahman to be an object. In what form Brahman is? In form means not only the table form or ocean form or the house form. I'm talking about every object of knowledge is a form. Isn't it? The object experienced through your ears is not in the form of a color or light or form. It's in the form of a sound. The object experienced through the nose is not in the form of light, but it's in the form of smell. Some form, in which form do you experience objects? I experience objects in the form of smell, in the form of taste, in the form of sound, in the form of color, light, form. In some form must be there for Brahman, then you can say Brahman has some form. This verse regates all Brahman, all the Brahman being said to be the one with the forms is negated by this verse. Brahman is of the nature of formlessness. Why? Agandhavate, arupam, adrishyam, isn't it? Arupam, agandhavate, asparsham, because it doesn't have any of these qualities. Act is of the nature of attributelessness. So it is free from all sorts of forms. It's of nature of formlessness. Is it clear now? Mm-hmm. Therefore, the swarupam, nature of Brahman being formlessness, all the forms are negated on the part of Brahman. Okay, forms are not there. Rupani patishidhyante nanu yena eva dharmena yad rupyate tadeva tasya swarupam iti brahmanaha api yena visheshena nirupanam tadeva tasya rupam syat ataha uchyate. See, yenaiva dharmena yadu rupyate, by which attribute yadu rupyate, that which is established, a thing which is established, no, existence of a given thing is established. How is established? No, rupyate, it is proved by some attribute. You have to have show something, no, how it is. Tasya swarupam, and that becomes its own swarupam. When you suppose, for example, take the example, now we say fire. What is fire? And fire has to be defined. Isn't fire is definable? And how do you define fire? It that which is of this color, and that which is of this, you know, which is the nature of being hot, and is fire. And you say, so then you say that which is of, which is in this form. So heat is, it's the form of the fire. In what form fire is? In what form fire is? Fire is in the form of heat and brilliance. That is the form of the fire, isn't it? So what he says in this, the student is asking, see, that by which, by given attribute, use a given attribute to establish the existence of a given thing, or to define a given thing, to make a given object to be understood. How do you, what do you do? You define it, isn't it? When you define a given object, that then you, whatever attribute the dharma it has, you use the dharma, the attribute which it has, in to define a given object. Like what I gave example of fire. What is fire? Define fire. See, fire, that which is of the nature of heat, that which has heat and which is brilliant, is fire. Therefore, when you say brilliant and fire, brilliance and fire, what are they? Dharma. Agni dharma. The dharma means attributes of fire. So those attributes you use, so that dharma using which you define fire, that fire is of that nature. Fire is of that dharma. In the same way, when you say, look at this, Brahman, we're going to talk about it now. Tadeva tasya rupam syat. Therefore, Chaitanyam Prithivyadinam Anyatamasya Sarvesham Viparinatanam Va Dharmaha Na Bhavati. Tatha Shrotradinam Antakaranasya Cha Dharmaha Na Bhavati. Brahmanaha Rupam Iti Brahma Rupyate Chaitanyena. Now he says, can we say then, this consciousness, isn't it? Consciousness is the nature of Brahman, Swarupam of Brahma Swarupam. You say, consciousness is Brahma Swarupam. So what, you, this is a Brahma Swarupam. Consciousness is the Swarupam of Brahman. And here, actually, all these days, we have been studying what? Consciousness is Brahmanaha Swarupam. And here, Upar is going to say, even the word consciousness, Brahman is reality, isn't it? You can talk about consciousness as the Swarupam only from the standpoint of Vyavaharika level. Something very subtle. Even consciousness is a swarup. Brahman is what? The name given to, name implying the reality. Adhara. Even the word consciousness, is it? Can be said to be swarupam. Of course, consciousness is not wrong thing, wrong word. The consciousness also is only from the standpoint of the, what now? Vyavaharika prapancha, vyavaharika level. avyavahare, what is Brahman? Can you say Brahman is consciousness? Swarup is consciousness. You say conscious, when is consciousness? See, only in the mind, isn't it? When the mind is available, look at this, only when the mind is available, there is manifestation. Consciousness is manifest, then in the standpoint of what? Now, the manifestation of consciousness, you talk about the original consciousness. Don't you? So even only the standpoint of the mind, something very subtle. Only from the vivahara, isn't it? That's why Brahman is said to be avyavaharyam. Avyavaharyam means what now? When the Brahman is not available for transaction, can you say that which actually, what you should say, Brahman is that which is a substratum for all living and non-living things. Isn't it? And which is available for recognition as what? As manifest knowledge and manifest consciousness. See, you understand what is pure consciousness only from the standpoint of manifest consciousness. Like what? When the mirror is there, your eyes can say, oh, something is red in the color. Red, something red. My eyes look very something red. How can you say? Only when there is a mirror. And other person, no, other person tells you, your own eyes see the red color of the eyes when? Only when there is a mirror. Similarly, even you can't say Brahman is, of the essential nature of Brahman is consciousness. If there is no mind, there's no antahkaranam. Is when there's no knowledge, I am. There's no knowledge the universe is. Can you say Brahman is of the nature of consciousness then? You understand, isn't it? You use the mind to understand, okay? But not use the mind. How? You separate, isn't it? That is why mind is only used here for what now? You separate. What is a cognition? What is cognition? Manifest consciousness plus vritti together is cognition, knowledge. Manifest consciousness plus vritti is what? Cognition. Knowledge means manifest consciousness plus antakarana vritti, manifesting medium the vritti. Now you have to cognitively remove the vritti, not physically. Like how cognitively you can remove the mirror, reflection of the face from the mirror, isn't it? Reflecting medium. And what do you say? That reflection is this. Okay, similarly, that manifest knowledge, consciousness is Brahman, you understand. But then, that Brahman is of the nature of consciousness, you can say only in the presence of the mind. So use the mind, but you understand it. But once you understand, he's going to talk about next as existence also. So, only from the standpoint of the transaction, you can say the Brahman is of the nature, essential nature of Brahman is consciousness. Then you can't call it Swarupam. because Shrut is asking that question. So anything, that means what? Brahman is non-definable. Brahman is non-definable. If Brahman is non-definable, then how come Upanishad you satyam jnanam anantam brahma? And then this is Sarupa Lakshanam and Tatastha Lakshanam. Non-definable. We are defining Brahman only from this vyavaharika level. Only in the standpoint of vyavaharika level, we are defining Brahman. Once you use the mind, arrive at it, is it? Then we understand what is that now. Brahman is the Adhara for all Chetana Achetana Prapancha. So, prithivyadinam anyatamahasya brahmanaha. So, the Brahman is something different from all these objects, isn't it? Like earth, etc. Because every element has its own attribute. And Brahman doesn't have any of the forms, any of these forms of the other elements. Therefore, Brahman is different and distinct from all these elements. Then, viparitanam va dharmaha na bhavati tatha shrotradinam antakarnasya dharmaha na bhavati iti brahmanaha rupam iti brahma rupyate chaitanyena. See, using this, when you use the consciousness, use the word consciousness, what do? Actually, only when the mind is there, Brahman is defined to distinguish Brahman. You as said to be, the consciousness Brahman, the essential nature of Brahman is consciousness, we say only to distinguish it from the other objects, other elements which are of the attributes. Every element has its own attribute. Then we use this the word consciousness. Of course, you understand what is that which is manifest as knowledge. The consciousness. You never can never experience pure consciousness. What you're experiencing is what? Manifest knowledge. Because absolute experiencer is what? Pure consciousness. But is it definable? Can it define consciousness? Can it define? That's why he says, prithivyadinam anyatamaha means that which is distinct from all these elements, etc. Different elements which are of different attributes and qualities. Therefore, Brahman is non-definable. So now he is going to quote this. Tatha cha uktam vijnanam anandam brahma vijnana ghanaha eva satyam jnanam anantam brahma prajnanam brahma iti cha brahmanaha rupam nirdishtam srutishu. The Shrunti is asking, what? You say Brahman is non-definable. What about Shrutishu in all the Upanishads? All the definitions of Brahman. Every satyam jnanam anantam brahma is what? Definition of Brahman. Prajnanam brahma is what? Definition of Brahman. Vijnana ganaha eva, what is it? No, definition of Brahman. Vijnanam anandam brahma. He quotes from different Upanishads and all these quotations of the proof The Upanishads themselves define Brahman. And the teacher is going to say now. Satyam, evam. Of course, Upanishads use this verse, define Brahman. Upanishads define Brahman, but really speaking, Brahman is non-definable. Tathapi, now he is using, tad antahkarana deha indriya upadhi dvarena eva vijnanadi shabdaihi nirdishyate. Only when the manifesting medium, the body, mind and complex is available, antahkarana, mind, dehaha, body, indriya, sense organs, all of them are what? Upadhis. Upadhi dvarena eva, only through the upadhis, isn't it? Only through the upadhi, from the standpoint of the upadhi, the vivahara, upadhis alone, vijnanadi shabdehi nirdishyate, Brahman is defined as consciousness. Is it? Brahman defines consciousness, implied as by these words, defined as consciousness. How? Only from the standpoint of the mind. Only from the standpoint of the vyavaharika level, which means what? When you say, when the mind is not, can it talk about consciousness? Are you aware of yourself? Are you aware of the world? Are you conscious of yourself first? When the mind, at least in a deep sleep state, are you conscious of yourself? Are you conscious of the world? Isn't it? So when can you talk about the consciousness then? Only when, isn't it? Man, there is man, mind is. When the mind comes, then vyavahara. If the mind is not there, there is no vyavahara. Is any vyavahara in deep sleep state? No vyavahara. Why? Mind is not available. When the mind is, that's why consciousness is not definable because it's non-locatable. Understand? And it is it becomes located where it is located. Then you talk about the consciousness. As in Brahman is defined as consciousness when? Only when it is, the location is available. See, Brahman is everywhere, always. But do you locate Brahman? There's no time Brahman is not. There's no place Brahman is not. But why you're not able to locate? Yes, but for locating, where can you locate? Mind. Isn't it? When the mind is, then the sense organs are also functioning. Body is functioning. Then you talk about what? Consciousness. Therefore, when this mind is not there also, you cannot say consciousness. What now? Brahman is not. Because Brahman is not, you will say. Why? Not non-transactable. When non-transactable, can you talk about consciousness? So what is consciousness now? Brahman is the Adhara, isn't it? For all this Chetana, Achetana, Prapancha. But in Achetana, Prapancha, you cannot locate. In Chetanam, you are able to locate. And that too, even then what? You only understand little bit, isn't it? And your mind is the best location. That is why yove danihitam guhayam. Nihitam means what? Consciousness is not there in the table or what? It's here. Okay, before, suppose this room here. Swamiji gives example. Before this whole hall is here, and all the chairs and table, tree, everything is here. Okay? Imagine, before all of you come here, was there consciousness or not?
Yes.
But not locatable. All that, therefore, non-locatable, that's why consciousness cannot be non-definable. Even the definition of Brahman as consciousness also, as its Swarupam also, is possible only from the standpoint of vyavahara. When there is no mind, there is no vyavahara. In avyavahariye, when it is not transactable, isn't it? You cannot talk about, even you cannot even say, consciousness is the Swarupam. When you say, I am, you can say what? I am itself is what? Manifest, vivahara. When I am also is not there, what is that? Avyavaharya. Avyava, non-transactable reality. Non-transactable, that which is available for vyavahara as consciousness, isn't it? When the mind is, and the mind is not, because we go to the mind, because mind is the best locatable, isn't it? Location. To locate, you have to go to the mind only. Then, okay, if you can't even say that. Why can't we say consciousness is, now next question, why he Shankara says here, only in vyavahara, only when the mind is, only this transaction is, only then you can say consciousness is the Swarupam of Brahman, etc. Really speaking, Brahman is non-definable. Why you can't say that? Why can't we say consciousness is Swarupam of Brahman? Then you have to account for what? There is something called jada. Jada, the inert matter is there, inert beings are there, inert elements are there, elementals are there. Then the dvaitam will come. If you say Brahman is definable, then you say consciousness is Swarupam of Brahman, if you say, then you have to what? Have to say what? No. What about this jada prapancha? If the dvaitam will come. Therefore, this Brahman is neither the, isn't it? Brahman is the very Adhara for all animate and inanimate beings. In their understanding, that is why in deep sleep state, when the mind is not available, when there is no transaction, what happens? Brahman is not non-existent. It is as good as non-existent due to its non-transactability. That is why Shunyavadis have come. That is Shunyavadi. The possibility of Shunyavadi is because of this only. And you have to remember Shankaracharya's verse, Rahu Grastha Divakarendu Sadrisho Maya Samachadanat. Rahu Grastha Divakara Indu Sadrishaha. How it is the sun and moon are eclipsed by the Rahu. So also it is Atma isn't it? Brahman is when it eclipsed, means what now? Is as though eclipsed, isn't it? As though not there, not available for transaction. When upasamharanataha, maya samharano upasamharanato. Now, because when all the sense organs and mind, etc., are all withdrawn, all of them become non-functional, then what happens in deep sleep state? The sense organs are resolved, mind is resolved, all the instruments of transaction are resolved, there is no transaction. Then is there Atma Brahman or not? Brahman is still there, isn't it? But because it is not available for transaction, what do you think? It is not there. And anything which is not available for transaction is mistaken for something non-existent. Because it is not available for transaction, can you say it is non-existent? So, karana upasamharanataha yaha abhut yaha puman sushuptaha abhut yobhu sushupta puman rahugasta divakara indu sadrushaha. And we think what? It is not available for transaction. Therefore, we think it is not there. That which is there, even when the transactions are not there, even it is not available for transaction, even if when the transactions are not there, because the transacting media, the transacting instruments are not there also, that which is there is Brahman. Okay, it is not definable. Okay, can we say that Brahman is an existence? What about Satyam, existence? Take it for next class. Very, very, very. Now I make it very clear, because before, only a little bit is there, and I'm going to sum up the whole thing for you again next class. Because it's very important. Now I'm going to present all the every argument by the Purupakshi and then tell you also. I'll get notes if necessary. Now he's going to go for, and Sattasa he does it, then it becomes very clear. He'd wait. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tatsat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. How the student goes, no? When you say formless, and he goes for that, you know, anything by which you define, it becomes its sorupam, it becomes its nature. Then now you have to say what now? Because you have to say, oh, if you say you define that which is available for recognition as the knower, knowledge is Brahman, you say that, definitely define. So then can you say that that is the Swarupa of Brahman then? Nice, isn't it?